Well, last time we did a bit of an overview, a bit of a survey of the Book of Job, quite a fast scan through it, just to give us a bit of an understanding of what sections there are and how it all pulls together. But tonight we're going to consider specifically the terrible enemy we face. The terrible enemy is described in the first two chapters of Job, the devil, our adversary. I think it's important first though, just to, as we come to look at this passage, it's important to understand that much of what we are shown in this spiritual realm of Job is pictorial. It gives us a picture to help us understand what is going on in the spiritual realm, in the battle, the spiritual battles that are going on around us all the time that we can't see. God uses picture language because God is eternal in the heavens, outside of time and space. He is beyond our measurement. We can't measure him out. We can't understand the fullness of God. There's no way. He's vast. He's eternal. He is God on the throne of heaven, the great creator God. We can't grasp his glory or his majesty. He is far above us. No one has seen God and lived. If you just turn perhaps just quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who loved him. So heaven and God himself is outside of our understanding. He is vast, beyond our understanding. So in chapter 1, we're given a picture of God on his eternal throne, and we see his servants coming before him. So his servants passing before God, and God is on the throne. Then we see the arrival of our adversary, the devil. That's in verse 6 and 7. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also was among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. So there we have this picture of our adversary, the devil. And 1 Peter, well-known verse, 1 Peter 5. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And we get that picture. He's going to and fro. He's looking for those he can destroy. He's truly a real and a formidable opponent. He's not a red man with horns and a trident in his hand, but a very powerful enemy. He's a fallen archangel, one of the most powerful created beings, created by God, one of the most powerful created beings, but he is a limited being. So God again holds up his servant Job to the devil's attention. He says, have you seen my servant Job? So in Job chapter 1 verse 8, have you considered my servant Job? And then in chapter 2 verse 3, have you considered my servant Job? So God says to the devil, have you seen my servant Job, a blameless man. Remember, we talked about not sinless, but blameless. in terms, turn to 1 Peter 2. This gives us some understanding of what we mean by this. So 1 Peter 2, let's read verse 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, those who are just camping, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honourable before the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So they can, people can say things against you, but they know and they see your good works. So you're blameless. You don't have things that they can throw at you. And very helpful passage in Daniel chapter 6. This is the Lion's Den passage. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Remember, the governors wanted to trip Daniel up. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no fault, no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error found or fault found in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they looked through his life. They couldn't find anything. They searched through his life. They tried to find, oh, he's made a mistake. He's done this. They couldn't find anything. So in that context, Job was righteous, faithful, faultless, blameless, not sinless, but they couldn't find a fault with him. He was faultless. So let's look at the devil this evening. Let's look at this adversary. Let's look at our enemy under three headings. Firstly, the devil is a ready destroyer. He's ready at any time to do as much destruction as he can. He's a ready destroyer. Secondly, the devil is a chained foe. Although he's powerful and mighty, he is chained. He's restrained. And then lastly, tonight we're going to look at the fact that God is never the author of evil. And that's spoken about in Job, but other parts of the Bible as well. God is never the author of evil. So firstly, the devil is a ready destroyer. Now, when we've read through Job 1, and you read how the devil goes out and starts oppressing Job, you see how it just, it's like bang, bang, bang. So when the devil is given the authority by God to attack Job, he goes out straight away. How long does it take him? Straight away. He doesn't wait. He doesn't have any compassion or any sorrow for Job. He wants to do as much damage as he can straight away. As much damage as is in his power to do straight away. And you see in chapter 1, it's like hammer blow after hammer blow after hammer blow. He's lost this. And even while this servant is still speaking, another servant comes and another servant comes. And he loses everything. I just think it's incredible how Job stands under such persecution, under such an assault from the devil. It's remarkable. But you see, the devil, his aim is for God's people to curse God. And that's what he says in chapter 1, verse 11. What he wants us to do, he wants us to get to such a point that we will curse God to his face. And just as Job's wife said in chapter 2, verse 9, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. She's saying to Job, look, it's not worth standing up for God anymore. What good's he done to you? You've been an upright man. You've lived a godly life. You've cared for people. You looked after the poor. You've been kind as an employer. You've always praised God. You've sacrificed to this God. What good has it done you? Done you no good. Just throw it all away. It's worthless. And that is where the devil wants us to get to. He wants us to turn our back on God, our back on our faith, to lose our faith, our trust in God. And he will do as much damage to us as God allows him to do. He is a ready destroyer. He hates us. He hates God and he hates God's people. And he will do as much hurt to us as he can. But secondly, the devil is a chained foe. You know, in the world, people are frightened and rightly frightened of the spirits and the devil, evil forces. But you know, the devil is a limited being. He's a created being. He has been made by God. He was made as an archangel, and his pride led him to fall. And he can only be at one place at a time. He is a created being. He's not a spirit. He's a being, a made, created being. And he is restricted. He's not all powerful in any sense. He's very powerful, but he is a defeated and a chained foe. He's chained. He is restrained. He's not free to do what he likes. So God sets the devil boundaries. In chapter 1, verse 12, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay a hand on his person so you can destroy all that he has, but you're not to touch him. You can take away everything that he has in this world, all of his possessions, all of his material blessings, all of the things that he has to his name. You can get rid of them, but you mustn't touch him." And then in chapter 2, verse 6, when the devil comes back again, he says, well, he's still got his health, you know. And the Lord says to the devil, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life." So Job, you can do as much damage to his body. Satan, you can do as much damage to his body as you like, but you must spare his life. His life is in my hand. I am God on the throne. His life is in my hand. So, you know, Job had all these terrible boils over his body from the top of his head, all over his body, everywhere, down to the soles of his feet. There was no way he could get comfortable, no way he could get any rest, no way that Job could have any relief. All he could do is just scratch off the scabs and the pain off of his body. What a terrible place Job was in. But Job's life was in God's hand. The devil could not touch him, could not take his life, because God had him in his hand. A question I've been asked before and talked about before, and I think it's relevant here, and maybe you've been asked this, is, can a Christian be possessed by an evil spirit? So can someone who's truly converted, who knows God, who's had his sins forgiven, has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, can they be possessed by an evil spirit? Well, I believe no. I think scripture is very clear on this. For, as I mentioned just then, for a person to be a Christian, they must have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. That's what a Christian is. It's someone who God dwells in. God's Spirit lives in. And okay, we can grieve the Spirit, yes. So he hides his face, as it were, his presence from us, but he is still living in us. We cannot lose our faith. We cannot lose our eternal life. The Spirit of God still lives in us. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 12, and this passage is where Jesus is defending himself against the Pharisees. The Pharisees are accusing Jesus of doing his wonderful works by the power of the devil, or they call him Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. And Jesus says, well, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. You can't cast out demons by the king of demons. You've got a house divided against itself, can't stand. And then in verse 29, he says, or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? Well, this is speaking of the Spirit of God. God, the Spirit of God is the strong man. There is no one more powerful, no spirit more powerful than the Spirit of God. God dwelling in a person. And what Jesus is saying, you've got to first of all bind the Holy Spirit. You've got to chain him before a demon can come in. And that's not possible. God is not chained. God is on the throne. God is eternal. So I think personally, I believe that no, you cannot be possessed. The Holy Spirit can't be ousted. He can't share possession. He won't share possession. He's a jealous God. And he certainly won't be able to be driven out. So no, I don't believe a Christian can be possessed. So the devil is a chained foe. Remember, God is on the throne and always will be. It may not seem like that at times. At times when you might think, where is God in this? But he is sovereign. He is over all things. He knows the beginning and the end. He is eternal in the heavens. The devil is a formidable, yet a defeated foe. Resist him and he will flee. And it's interesting, in the same passage, it talks about fleeing from temptation. As Joseph did, he ran away from temptation. But it tells us, resist the devil and he will flee. So the devil is a defeated foe. And if we stand up to him, if we're faithful in the Spirit of God, he will flee. So he's a chained foe. Lastly, this evening, God is never the author of evil. Now, this is a fundamental truth we must get hold of. We must understand, because people ask us many questions. How could God allow this? Why did God allow that? Why did God allow these terrible things to happen? God is not the author of evil. At times it might be very hard to understand that, to see that, but it is a fundamental truth. It's a truth we must keep and understand. See, Job at times seemed to believe that the destruction of his things, the position he was in, the destruction of his family, his health, was directly from God. He felt that he didn't feel God was unjust. He felt it was God's right. God can do this. Everything I have is from God. All that I have is from God. He's a just God. He's perfectly within his rights to do that. But Job really had a wrong view of God. Although there is some truth in that God allows these things for our good. He's teaching us, he's training us, he's working in us, but he's never the author of evil. So he's not the destroyer. He's not the one who is destroying and carrying out this destruction. That's why we get that picture of the spiritual battle and the devil, the great destroyer, and God as the restrainer. So let's turn in Job to see what Elihu says about these things. So Elihu speaks about this in Job 34. Remember, Elihu is this godly young man who waited and listened to all the other speeches and tries to get Job back onto right biblical thinking. So he, here in chapter 34, he's trying to get Job to understand, remember something about God and God's character. So chapter 34, verse 10. Therefore, listen to me, you men of understanding. Far be it from God to do wickedness and from the Almighty to commit iniquity. For he repays man according to his works and makes man to find a reward according to his way. Surely God will never do wickedly, nor will the Almighty pervert justice. Who gave him charge over the earth? Or who appointed him over the whole world? If he should set his heart on it, if he should gather to himself his spirit and his breath, all flesh would perish together, and man would return to dust. So Elihu is saying to Job, God is not, God doesn't commit iniquity. He doesn't do wicked things. He can't act wickedly. He doesn't pervert justice. But remember, you have to remember, God in this spiritual battle is always restraining the devil. He, in fact, is the great protector of his people. In a way, the devil, at the beginning, he said, you know, you protect him. It's because you protect him. That's why you worship. Well, God does protect us. That's true. God is the great protector of his people. He loves his people. He is the one who shelters us as a father, loving heavenly father. Just turn briefly, some verses I love to remind myself of in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And Jesus is speaking. John chapter 10 verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So Jesus is saying, I have them in my hand. Verse 28, no one can snatch them out of my hand. And no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So there's that double grasp of God on us. God has us tightly in his hands. Nothing can touch us unless the Lord allows. Nothing can come near us unless God allows. Just wanted to read just briefly, I hope you might know, John Payton, who is a missionary to the cannibals in the New Hebrides Islands. And there's a lovely excerpt from there, which just demonstrates God's protection of his people. Let me read it. It says, one night, hostile natives surrounded the mission station, intent on burning out the Paytons and killing them. Payton and his wife prayed during that terror-filled night that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. A year later, the chief of the tribe was converted to Christ. Remembering what had happened, Payton asked the chief what had kept him from burning down the house and killing them. The chief replied in surprise, "Who were all those men with you there?" Payton knew no men were present. But the chief said he was afraid to attack because he had seen hundreds of big men in shining garments with drawn swords circling the mission station. Now, brothers and sisters, we don't know. We can't see the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm, but we know God is protecting us. I know personally there's times when God has kept me from things God has saved me from going a wrong direction, doing something silly and ending up either dead or in some other terrible state. God is constantly protecting us, and his angels are there watching over us, just as they were over the Paytons. So this evening we've considered our great enemy, the devil. And firstly, we thought about the devil as being a ready destroyer, one who hates God's people, hates them. He will do as much damage to us as he's allowed. He will bring us as much pain and suffering as he can. He is a ready destroyer. But secondly, always remember this, the devil is a chained foe. He is always restrained. He is bound by God. He is given, he's chained. He is given just boundaries that God will not allow him to go beyond. Remember, God is on the throne. And lastly, remember, God is never the author of evil. He's never the author of evil. He allows things to happen that we will grow, that we will cry out to him, we'll be dependent on him, that we'll lean less on ourselves, become less self-sufficient, less self-confident, and cry out to him. But he's never the author of evil. So take this evening, take the devil seriously. We need to take him seriously. He is a formidable foe. He is an enemy. He is one who hates us, who wants to destroy us. But let's live in the light of what we read earlier from 1 Peter. I'm going to read a few verses. You might want to turn 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 11. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 to 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So remember, God is on the throne. God is in control. God is working in us. He's going to bring us to glory. Resist the devil and he will flee. May the Lord bless his word to our heart.